Chapter 26. Finding Derek is easy enough. Styles just follows the line of shed and abandoned clothing. A shoe, then another shoe, both socks, a shirt tossed over a tree branch. It let him know what direction Derek was moving in. Then he just jogs, heading deep into the forest, until he catches up. And even then he doesn't slow or stop, but continues to keep pace with the wolf, who's moving at a fast clip, but not so much that Styles can't keep up. Another few minutes go by before Derek gradually slows and then stops, waiting for Styles to catch up. Once he does, however, Derek starts moving again. This time it's only a brisk walk. It's clear that he needs to move, but he also still wants the company. Styles is glad he slowed down when he did, because his lungs were starting to burn. Self-defense with Laura has helped his overall athletic ability, but stamina still isn't his strong suit. He shoves his hands in his pockets and lets Derek set the pace. Derek curves their path in deference to Styles' lungs, which he can hear working harder than would be comfortable for the teenager. Humans aren't built for the ground-covering paces that wolves are. He knows there's a small clearing not too far away, so he starts keeping an eye out for a good stick. Eventually, he sees one and darts off to the side to grab it before rejoining Styles without warning. He leads Styles on until they get to the clearing, where he drops the stick expectantly at Styles' feet. "Oof," Styles agrees, leaning against a tree and trying to catch his breath. He picks up the stick and gives it a solid toss. Derek watches it sail away and land before taking off after it, just to give Styles more time to catch his breath. Then he only trots back instead of running. "This is still silly," Styles tells him, giving it another throw. Derek gives Styles a little sneeze, conveying his opinion rather eloquently, before taking off after the stick. He asks Styles to throw it over and over again, sometimes letting it land, other times doing ridiculous maneuvers and catching it in the air. He stays moving, which is the important part. Eventually, he just watches it go, and instead of chasing it, he lays down at his mate's feet. Styles promptly sits down next to him, leaning over to run his hands over Derek's fur and scratch behind his ears. Derek leans into it, heaving a sigh like he's letting the tension out. After a few minutes have passed, Styles says, "Did you know you're ridiculously gorgeous even as a wolf? I ask you, how is that fair?" Derek rolls a little to look at him, which results in a front leg waving in the air. "Oh, does you little wolf want a belly wob?" Styles coos, rubbing his hands firmly over Derek's exposed stomach. Derek paws at him ineffectually in a pathetic attempt at self-defense, and there's even a little mop grabbing at him with his mouth, although he's always very careful with the teeth, less so than with his flaily paws that seem to be everywhere at once. They wrestle back and forth for a few minutes before Styles says, "Come on, shift back. I can't make out with you like this." Derek just rolls to his feet and gives Styles a wolfy kiss right up the side of his face. "Ew, gross!" Styles protests, laughing. After a few more moments have passed, Derek nudges Styles to his feet and sets off into the forest. Styles gets up and trots after him, glad that they're moving at an easier pace, but resolved to never admit it. This time, Derek stays at a relaxed walk, not quite a stroll, but nothing like before. He's taking him on the route that's most direct towards his clothes. Styles lets him walk in silence and gathers up each article of clothing as they pass it, until they're finally right outside the Hale House, where Derek left his shoes. Derek stops and shifts, facing away from Styles while he pulls on his boxers and then the jeans out of the pile that Styles is holding. "Thanks." "Yeah," Styles says, shifting from foot to foot. "No problem. You okay? I mean, given the circumstances?" Derek takes a minute to actually think about it. "Better than when I left." He sighs. "I'm holding it together. Is that an okay answer?" "That's a great answer," Styles says. "Really?" There's not an ounce of sarcasm in his voice. Derek reaches out and pulls Styles to him. Styles nestles into his embrace and says, "Let's go do something where we won't have to think about all this, okay? Peter and I, we're handling it. Nobody else needs to be involved or worry about things." "I don't think I can stop worrying, though I can let you two handle it. God knows your ability to investigate is better than mine." He rocks them back and forth for a few minutes. "But yeah, let's go do something else, please." "With your family or just the two of us?" Styles asks. "Everyone?" Derek asks, sounding a bit hopeful. "Sure," Styles says, nuzzling at Derek's temple. "It's nice out today. We should go have a picnic, fly a kite, or we could go to the lake or something." "We could," Derek says, relaxing against Styles. "Do all three, at once even." "Very ambitious," Styles says. "I like the lake idea. You wouldn't have to put your shirt back on." "Uh-huh," Derek says, amused. He moves them toward the house. "How are things between you and my mom?" Styles sighs a little. "I don't know. I mean, they're okay. I hope they're okay. I don't know that it'll be all roses and sunshine from here on out, but at least she said she was sorry, and I can try to believe that she means it. Maybe if we stop avoiding each other, we'll eventually get used to each other." Derek nods. He knows better than to push for more than that. So he just reaches out and twines his fingers through Styles. "So do we have the stuff for a picnic, or does someone need to stop at the store?" "Tell you what, I'll text my dad to pick up some stuff and he can bring it over. He needs a day off, whether he wants one or not." Derek snorts. "Why don't you invite Scott and Allison?" "Are you sure it would be okay?" Styles asks. "To invite Allison?" "Do you trust her?" Derek asks him seriously. "Yeah," Styles says. 100%. "She has a lot to do with why I started letting you in. Because she told me that I wouldn't find my answers in books, that I would find them by being with the pack." "Well, then I'm grateful to her on top of liking her." Derek hugs Styles for a moment. "She's important to you." Styles hugs him back. "Come on, let's go have some fun." The picnic goes about as well as could be expected, given the givens. Styles asks the Hales not to talk about the fire, since Allison is as of yet not aware of her family's involvement, and none of them want to talk about it anyway. Peter is gone by the time Styles and Derek get back to the Hale house, having wandered off. Talia tried to follow him so they could talk, but he shifted and snarled at her, so she let him go. That's a talk that she's not looking forward to having. But before she has to have that one, there's another she looks forward to even less. The kids are all running around, splashing in the lake, and playing with a beach ball. Aaron is cleaning up the trash from the picnic. Laura is helping Tyler build a sandcastle, while Jonathan applies another coat of sunscreen to the baby. Talia sees the look on Sheriff Stilinski's face and sighs a little, walking over to him as he gestures to her. They walk back towards the parking lot, so they'll be out of earshot from curious wolves. "I'd like to go over the case files with you in some detail at your convenience," she says. Tom nods. "Stop by my office on Monday. I'll make time for you, barring emergencies." Talia clasps her hands in front of herself to hide the fact that they're shaking. "How long have you known about this?"
"Only a week or so, and Styles has kept me busy. I got a second opinion from another fire inspector. There's not any physical evidence left, but he looked through the reports and found some inconsistencies. Enough that he thinks we can prove it was arson if we need to."
"All right," Talia says softly. She studies her hands for a few moments. "I want to talk to the school about the searching ceremony, but Styles is afraid I'll blow his cover, so I suppose that will have to wait."
"Yeah, his position seems pretty solid, but let's not push it."
"Of course," Talia says. "I wouldn't do anything to put him in danger." They stand in silence for a long minute. Tom folds his arms over his chest.
"You gonna make me say it?" he finally asks.
Talia shakes her head. "I'm sorry," she says, "for everything, but..." She straightens her shoulders and manages to look Tom in the eye. "I was out of line.
Hitting him was wrong, and I'll accept whatever consequences you feel are appropriate. Tom nods a little, thoughtfully. Then he sighs. Look, he says, I know that Styles provoked you, and I know that he knew he was provoking you, and that he was doing it deliberately, because sometimes that kid has more balls than brains. I know that werewolves have different ideas about physicality, and that a slap across the face means something different to you than it does to me. I know that he doesn't hold it against you, even if he should, and that right now he just wants to put all that behind him and try to build a working relationship going forward. That's what I know. And, Talia says, Styles is close enough to being an adult that I'll let him make that decision, Tom says, once. Talia's jaw clenches, but then she nods. But if you ever lift a hand to him in violence again, Tom continues evenly, I will have you arrested and charged with assault, whether he likes it or not. Is that clear? Yes, she says, I understand. Good. Tom shakes his head a little, then says, Come on, I think that's more than enough serious talk for one day. Let's go at least try to have a decent time. With all of that going on, it's a wonder that mundane life still occurs. But it does. Styles sorts parking tickets and does his summer reading. He makes muffins and pesters his father until he goes for his annual physical. Despite the massive, life-altering events of the weekend, nothing much changes. Sometimes he sees Talia talking to Aaron about a new security system, and they've started doing a quick patrol of their property every night. He talks on the phone with Kate and keeps researching the WLO, putting the case against them together, but it's no different than it has been for the past month. But real life reminds him abruptly how much it can suck less than a week later, when he's in the mall looking for something to buy Scott, who's in the hospital with pneumonia. Who gets pneumonia in July? Styles had asked him, annoyed at losing his best friend during prime goof-off time. Severe asthmatics, Scott had replied, and Melissa had hit Styles upside the head with a gentle smack. Styles has to admit that they have a point, and when it looks like Scott might be in the hospital for more than a few days so he can have his oxygen and hourly nebulizer treatments and chest PT, Styles decides to go buy him something to keep him occupied. He's thinking about getting him a Kindle or a Nook. Scott's always been a big reader, but it's a pain in the ass to cart books to and from the hospital. It's a little expensive, sure, but it can be an early Christmas present or something like that. He's got the money. Final season is always a good time to be in the paper writing racket. But he isn't sure, and something else might catch his eye. And anyway, he's enjoying getting away from his research, and to be perfectly honest, his extremely clingy pack. Everyone, even Cora, is keeping a not-so-surreptitious eye on him. Which is why he's really sure that they're all going to be annoyed that now, here, on this perfectly mundane errand, is when he gets into trouble. At first, it seems like something he can ignore. Three guys sniggering as he walks by. They're older than him by a few years, but familiar. Upperclassmen, or maybe recent graduates. Undoubtedly friends of Jackson's, who probably still think that Derek picking him was a joke. He hears a derogatory comment or two, but ignores them. It doesn't seem like it'll be a big deal until he realizes that they're following him. He stops to peruse a kiosk. They stop in one of the store doorways. He gives a quick glance over his shoulder. One of them folds his arms across his chest and smirks, nodding his chin in a yeah, that's right sort of gesture. So they're not trying to avoid his line of sight. They don't care if he knows they're there. They just want to follow him until he's alone and kick the shit out of him, most likely. Styles considers his options. He could make a break for it. He's pretty fast. But he doesn't like his odds if they catch up with them. His self-defense lessons are coming along pretty well, but he can't handle 3-on-1 unless he weights the circumstances in his favor, which mainly means finding a corner so they can only attack him one at a time. He could head to the mall security substation, but the idea makes him squirmy. Adults have looked the other way before while he got his ass kicked. They might look the other way again. Even calling Derek or his father to come pick him up doesn't come without its problems. Derek's at work, 20 minutes away, and who knows where his father is. He can't exactly stand on the curb and wait for them without risking the guys jumping him. If they see him on his phone and realize he's calling for help, they might just jump him and damn the consequences. He'll have to take care of himself. He's not exactly helpless, but if he fights the way Laura's taught him, he could get in a lot of trouble. No holds barred, as Laura puts it, is a good way to permanently damage someone. He wouldn't lose any sleep over it, but if he gets arrested for assault, it won't make anybody happy. Stiles thinks about all of this while he stands there at the cute little kiosk. Then he starts walking again. He heads into Macy's. He's been there before a few times, shopping for Melissa's birthday with Scott. There's a bathroom not too far from their jewelry counter. It will be fairly close quarters, which will make it harder for them to gang up on him, and there's a security camera to prevent shoplifting. He hasn't bought anything yet, so his hands are empty. That's good. He has a few things in his pockets. Laura's given him pepper spray. Plus he has his keys, and the stupid dog whistle Peter had given him, which obviously isn't going to do him any good. The three thugs quickly approach him and ring him in. Stiles takes a deep breath and reminds himself that worst comes to worst, all that's going to happen is that he's going to get his ass kicked. He's survived it before and can survive it again. "Problem, gentlemen?" he asks. "Yeah, we got a problem," the ringleader says. "We've got a problem with you." "Gee, I'm really sorry to hear that," Stiles says, gripping his keys a little harder in his pocket. He swallows and forces himself to let them go so he can lift his hands in a gesture of surrender. "I don't want any trouble, okay?" One of the guys takes a step forward, and Stiles shrinks backwards, putting both hands in his pockets to grip his weapons. "You've got trouble," the thug says. "Oh my God, seriously? Life is not a cheesy action flick. Can you maybe not, Danny Zuko?" Stiles starts, and then two of them rush forward to tackle him. He finds he's surprisingly calm. All the drilling with Laura has helped more than he would have anticipated. He pulls out the pepper spray and gets it right in the eyes of the asshole closest. He staggers backwards, wailing, and Stiles wastes no time whipping the keys at the other attacker as hard as he can. His aim isn't as good as it could be. He aims for the eyes but gets the guy in the mouth instead. But it's more than good enough. Both hands go up to his mouth, and Stiles sees blood dripping down his chin. The last of the three guys looks at him in stunned silence for a moment before he too rushes forward. Stiles dodges the wild haymaker and steps forward into his personal space. Just like Laura's taught him, he puts a hand on the guy's shoulder to steady himself and then slams his knee up into his groin. He howls and goes to the ground, curling up in fetal position. Pepper spray guy has recovered by then, and he charges forward, getting Stiles in a football tackle that sends them both to the ground, knocking over a rack of clothes as they go and drawing the attention of almost everyone nearby. Stiles manages to squirm free, and the guy he hit with the keys grabs him by the collar of his t-shirt and drags him to his feet. Stiles accepts the help up, then leans forward and gets his elbow into the guy's solar plexus. He grunts, lets go, and staggers backwards. Pepper spray guy is up again too, and he aims another punch at Stiles' face. Stiles knocks it aside with one arm. He's amazed at how smoothly and easily it happens. Like Laura's made him do it so many times he could do it in his sleep, and responds in kind, slamming the heel of his hand upward into the guy's nose. Blood goes everywhere, and he staggers back, practically choking on it. Then mall security is there, and someone has Stiles pressed up against a wall with his arm behind his back, and he almost fights back but realizes that it's security at the last second. So he surrenders, and they drag him to one of the little security substations. The police have been called, he's informed. So have paramedics. Pepper spray guy and shot to the crotch guy are both being taken to the hospital. His other assailant is in the security office with him. Blood is dripping down his chin from where Stiles nailed him with the keys. He hopes that somebody thought to grab them. Can I call my father? He asks the security guy, who glares and says he can take it up with the police. Stiles lets it go. He's pretty sure that his father will be the one who shows up anyway. He knew that Stiles was going to be at the mall, so when he hears about this on the radio, he'll probably assume that Stiles was involved. Okay, fine, but I'm calling my alpha. It's clear that the security guard doesn't know what to do with that. The police are trained in when it's appropriate for a werewolf to be allowed to summon their alpha, but mall cops are not. Before he can decide whether or not he wants to argue, Stiles is already doing it. He has her personal cell now, and she picks up on the first ring. Hiya, Mrs. Hale, it's Stiles, he says. Can you come down to the mall? I'm in some trouble and I'll be right there, she says, and hangs up. Cool, Stiles says. He hangs up, folds his arms over his chest, and says, until she gets here, I'm pleading the Fifth Amendment. Unfortunately for him, the security guy has seen that mall cop movie too many times and fancies himself as something of an arm of the law. He makes threatening gorilla noises about how it'll go easier for Stiles if he cooperates. His assailant is whining that he thinks some of his teeth are loose, and mall cop tells Stiles he could be charged with assault and battery since he used weapons, and Stiles just keeps his thoughts to himself. His father either calls off the other cops or drives like a bat out of hell, because he gets there before anybody else. He sees the blood on Stiles' shirt and nearly loses it, but realizes quickly that it isn't Stiles, and that the only injury he has is a mild abrasion to the side of his head. Apparently one of the clothing racks was in his way when he got tackled to the floor. Talia arrives a bare minute later, just as Sheriff Stilinski says, so what happened here? That little punk cut up my fucking face, Thug Number 2 says. Stiles rolls his eyes a little bit, and he sees his father's face harden, but apparently Tom is on the same wavelength as Stiles, because he decides to let the kid dig his grave. Just take it from the beginning, he says, but there's no cause for that kind of language. Yeah, sorry, sir, the thug says. But seriously, we were just minding our own business. Where? Tom asks. In Macy's. The thug sees Tom's skeptical look and says, you know, my pal Chuck, he needed a birthday present for his mom. So we saw this kid and, yeah, okay, Chuck said something kind of rude, you know, it was just a comment. But the kid goes fucking nuts. He threw his keys in my face. My mouth is all cut up and shit. Two other young men were seriously injured and taken to the hospital. The security guard cuts in. Three guys total? Tom's eyebrows go up. Damn. Stiles rubs a hand over the back of his head and tries not to grin. So let me get this straight, Tom says. You're saying that this kid, who's at least 2 inches shorter and probably about 50 pounds lighter than you, randomly attacked you and two of your friends, and it would appear handed your asses to you? He didn't fight fair, the thug snarls, glowering at Stiles. He had fucking pepper spray, and he kneed Todd in the balls. Guys ain't supposed to do that to other guys. The mall cop has been on his phone during most of this, and he hangs it up with a grave expression. Apparently the injuries on the other two boys were pretty serious, he says, puffed up from the importance of having apparently apprehended a dangerous criminal in his mall. One of them has a broken nose and the chemical burns to his eyes, and the other has a torn scrotum. Talia has to bite her lip to keep from laughing. Her hand rests lightly on Stiles' shoulder, and at this she gives it a squeeze. All right, you little miscreant, Sheriff Stilinski says to Stiles. Let's hear your side of the story. Talia clears her throat. Before you begin, Stiles, as your alpha and a lawyer, I advise you that unless this was clear self-defense, you not say anything until we've had a chance to discuss it in private. No, we're good, Stiles assures her. The mall cop gives a scoffing noise, which Stiles ignores. I was down at FYE, Stiles says, when I noticed them watching me. One of them called me a werewolf. I ignored them because I'm getting used to that. When I left the store, they followed me. What? No, we didn't, the thug blusters. We weren't in that stupid store. Stiles just continues. I stopped at a kiosk because I wasn't sure what they were up to, but when I looked at them, one of them looked right back, and then they didn't stop following me, so I was pretty sure they meant to hurt me. I was afraid to call the cops because I thought if they saw me on my phone, they might jump me. So I headed into Macy's because I know there's a security camera there. The thug's face goes blank, then white. I went to stand by the bathroom. They keep it there to prevent shoplifting. They came over and surrounded me. I told them I didn't want trouble. They jumped me. I defended myself. Beginning, middle, end. That's some story, kid. The security officer sneers at him. Talia arches her eyebrows. Can we view the security footage from Macy's in here? She asks. The security officer glowers a little, but then flinches under Talia's unyielding gaze. Yeah, I think so. He turns to his computer and his screens for a few minutes before he manages to find the right camera and rewind it to the correct point. Everyone watches as Styles gets backed into the corner, as he raises his hands in clear surrender, as two of the thugs rush him at once. Tom lets out a low whistle at how quickly and efficiently Styles takes down the first two. His expression tightens again when he gets tackled and is momentarily knocked out of view of the cameras, but for the most part, the fight is all captured on tape. Damn, Tom says, then turns to Talia and says, whatever we're paying Laura for those lessons, double it. Talia lets out a snort. She gets paid in baked goods, I think. Styles, his father says, studying him, why in God's name are you grinning like that? Styles can't help it. He just can't. With a mile-wide grin, he proclaims proudly, I'm gonna get the D. Tom blinks at him. Talia just bursts into laughter. Then Tom rubs one hand over his forehead. I don't want to know, he proclaims. I really, really don't. Talia waves at the door. Go, for the love of God, go. What? You can't, Malkop blusters. He's a suspect in a serious crime. Actually, no, Sheriff Stilinski says and points to the video. It's very clear that this was self-defense. But the lengths to which he went, the injuries the other young men received. By law, it doesn't matter, Talia says. He feared for his personal safety and handled things accordingly. Styles, go, she adds over her shoulder. We'll take care of this. Her mouth draws back into another smile. Besides, you being here is just distracting, for goodness sake. Come by the station later. I'll need you to give an official statement so we can press charges against these three, Tom calls after his retreating back. Wait, what? The thug says, and then Styles is out of earshot as he jogs across the mall. As soon as he's out in the parking lot and it's quieter, he grabs his phone and calls Derek, hoping that he's not busy. A quick glance at his watch reveals that it's 5:15. Hey, are you still at work? He asks when Derek picks up. I was just finishing up. Why, what's up? I need you to meet me at my place, like, pronto. Derek mistakes the excitement in Styles' voice for tension. What happened? He snaps. Are you okay? Oh, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. These three guys jumped me in the mall, and I kicked the crap out of them, and I need you at my place. Pronto. You can call your mom to vouch for me if you want. No, I'm good. I'll see you in... There's a clatter as he knocks something over in his rush. 10 minutes. Less if I hit all the green lights. No need to hit them. What'd they ever do to you? Styles teases, then says, okay, gotta go. Hanging up so I can drive. He tucks his phone in his pocket without waiting to hear Derek's goodbye and gets behind the wheel of the Jeep. He drives as quickly as he can, but doesn't dare speed too much, lest he be asking for trouble. Derek apparently doesn't feel the same compunction, because he beats Styles to the house. He grabs Styles as soon as he gets out of the Jeep, pinning the teenager's body against it with his full weight and capturing his mouth in a kiss. Styles moans into it and just lets Derek rub their bodies together, oblivious to the fact that they're outside in plain view of anyone on the street. Oh my God, get us inside, he gasps out, as Derek pulls his lips away from Styles in favor of mouthing at the crook of his neck. Derek makes a noise of assent, and just gets a hand underneath each of Styles' thighs, hoisting him up and carrying him up the front walk. They stop at the front door, and Derek presses Styles up against it, and they fumble around trying to find Styles' keys for a full minute. "I want," Derek gasps between messy kisses, "to hear all about this fight." He leans in to lick at Styles' ear. Styles agrees. "I want your dick. Promises were made." "Then tell me about it." Derek gets the door open, and they practically tumble through it. Then he stops somewhat abruptly. "Your dad?" "Off charging some guys for assault," Styles says. "He won't be home for at least an hour." Derek kicks the front door shut. "Awesome." He grabs Styles around the waist, getting one arm underneath his ass so he can lift him off his feet. They're still kissing as Derek carries him up the stairs, balanced precariously, and into Styles' room, where he leans them against the door. Styles' feet are still off the ground, hips tucked neatly against Derek's, one ankle hooked around the older man's calf. "Tell me about the fight," Derek says, licking his way down Styles' neck. "Jesus Christ," Styles says faintly, and tries to clear his head. Okay, so I was in the mall, and these guys were following me, saying nasty things. Oh, fuck, he says, as Derek slides one hand underneath the hem of his t-shirt, fingers tracing over the line of his lowest rib, trailing down the center of his abdomen. "Keep talking," Derek says, nipping at that super-sensitive spot he's found behind Styles' ear. "Keep touching," Styles gasps out. They followed me, so I went into Macy's for a security camera, so I wouldn't get in trouble. Jesus fuck, Derek," he whines, as Derek's hips press more firmly into his, and he can feel Derek's cock pressing against his thigh. "Take my shirt off." "Okay," Derek agrees, sliding both hands underneath the offending garment and stripping it over Styles' head. He's greeted with so much skin that he almost doesn't know what to do with it, so he bends over and presses his mouth against Styles' nipple, sucking hard. "Ah," Styles says, leaning his head back so fast that it hits the door with a thunk. "I told them I didn't want any trouble, but they came at me anyway, so I nailed one of them with the pepper spray and threw my keys at the other. Hit him right in the face. Oh my God, right there. Do that again," he stammers, as Derek bites down on his collarbone, both hands on Styles' sides, tracing the musculature there with his thumbs. "Ben, please, I don't think I can," he gasps. His knees feel weak and watery. Derek growls and lifts him up, practically throwing him onto the bed. Styles lands with an oof, but then grabs Derek by the front of the shirt as he climbs on top of him, one knee on either side of Styles' thighs, and pulls him in for a kiss. It lasts several minutes and ends with both of them gasping for air. Styles tugs at the hem of Derek's shirt and manages to pull it off. "Jesus, sometimes I still can't believe that you want me," he says, staring at Derek's chest and abdomen like it's something from another planet. Derek gives another growl and then leans down to lick almost delicately at the center of Styles' abdomen, his tongue stirring the hairs that peek out just above his pants. Styles strangles out a whimper and hooks a leg over Derek's back. Come on, he urges. "Finish the story," Derek tells him, mouthing at the bulge in Styles' pants. "Oh my God," Styles says, tilting his head back and squeezing his eyes shut. "Where was I?" "Keys," Derek murmurs, rubbing his face against Styles' thighs. "Okay," Styles says. "Third one, try to hit me. I dodged and need him in the crotch, just like Laura showed me." His sentences are growing shorter and more desperate as Derek works on his belt, fingers curling around Derek's shoulders, tangling in his hair, his entire body moving restlessly on the bed as he tries desperately to get more friction. "First guy tackled me. Got free and I did a thing. Oh, Jesus, I don't remember. I hit him in the face. In the nose. Broke his nose." Styles jerks his hips up into Derek's hand. "Gonna come in my pants if you keep that up." "Then you'd better hurry," Derek tells him. "Oh, my God, you suck. You suck." "When you finish the story, I will." Styles has to swallow hard before he can keep talking. I think I hit the other guy. I don't remember, really. It all happened pretty fast. Anyway, then security showed up and I called your mom and he says, as Derek's undoing the button and zipper of his pants. I won't last long, he says. Me neither, Derek says, without an ounce of shame, pulling Styles' pants and underwear down far enough that he can get his hands around Styles' dick and free it from the surrounding fabric. Styles makes another strangled noise, body arching up into his touch, toes curling into the sheets. The other guy tried to say I started it, he continues, pushing into Derek's grip, but I had it all on camera, so your mom told me I could leave because I think my pheromones were harshing her buzz or something. Oh my god, oh god, Derek. Styles tugs on Derek's hair as the other man presses soft kisses against the length of his cock. Can you just, please, I need... Uh-huh, Derek says. He's out of breath himself. He doesn't want it to be over too quick, but he doesn't think either of them is going to last much longer in any case. He grabs one of Styles' hands, lacing his fingers through Styles and pressing it against the bed. He uses his other hand on Styles' hip to steady him before taking Styles' cock into his mouth as far as he can. Styles shudders underneath him, and he can't find the air to shout as Derek pulls back in one long, slow suck. He squeezes Derek's hand so hard that it hurts, and jerks upwards as Derek moves forward again, smooth and graceful. Derek has to put his entire forearm over Styles' abdomen to hold him down as he comes, to keep him from arching all the way off the bed. He groans just from watching it, seeing the look on Styles' face, the way the cords in his neck stand out, the gasping noises he makes. Then he pulls away, feeling the tension in his own body recede. He leans up to kiss Styles over and over again while he tries to catch his breath. After a few minutes, Styles manages to pull himself together enough to say, "Do you need me to..." Derek says, flushing a little pink. No. Styles blinks at him, slow and lazy. Then his eyes go wide. Did you actually come in your pants? He asks, and Derek gives him a somewhat chagrined nod. You seriously came just from sucking me off? Dude, that is awesome. That's like the best thing I've ever heard. You're gonna let me clean you up with my mouth, right? Because I need to do that, like, right now. Jesus, you're too much. Derek groans, but Styles is already rolling them over.